Hello, Screeters. Here in the Midwest, maybe we're in Northern Midwest. I don't know. Anyway, the weather has been balmy. I think we're getting on the other edge of it, and it's going to get a little cooler. But I think everyone's spirits seem to be soaring a little bit, and you know, it's just exciting to step away from the winter season. In Northern Illinois, they say if you don't like the weather, wait 20 minutes. It's not that bad all the time, but it is bad a lot that it does shift and change, as all things do. I don't have a ton of introductory things to talk about. I think mostly I'm going to recap a recent Traveler and OSE Valley of the Manticore game, talk about those things a little bit, and then maybe do a deep dive on credits in sci-fi game. I did a little bit of it last episode. You know me, I'm a Vancian podcaster. I don't remember. So I'll probably talk about some of the same things, but I got a call in from Carl and another from Jason. So I think we might as well get into it. Today is April 15th, Saturday, 2023. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screen.
Hey, Jason, the other Jason here, just calling about credits. I don't have a problem with credits. I think even in a system, an advanced sci-fi game where everybody's got their computerized, you know, digitalized credit score, and it's all that way, you still are going to have a black market. You're still going to have some way, and it's not just going to be straight barter. They're going to have some way to unify it or to, you know, categorize it. Those aren't the right words I want. But I think you're probably still going to end up with some kind of credit system, and you might end up with credit sticks of different denominations, and especially if it's a black market thing, right? Or the credit sticks might be from different jurisdictions, different planets that aren't totally compatible, which is why you might have different credit sticks. Maybe it's just one of those things I just give the system and I don't fight it. There are other things that I have bigger issues with, but with credits, I kind of just roll with it and it doesn't bother me. So anyhow, that's the feedback, and I look forward to your next episode. Take care of yourself.
The other Jason, Jason Connerly of Nerds RPG Variety Cast, weighing in on credits. So what do I have further thoughts on credits? I agree that there's black markets, but I mean, we have black markets here. We got black markets here, and as far as I know, they're not usually toting around cash. Most of the time, on TV, I guess. I don't really know what the black market does. I guess it depends on how localized we're talking. Because, I mean, isn't it always put money in my Swedish bank account or whatever, a encrypted, protected bank account transfer? I don't know. I mean, you could see everyone having like something like a credit card or, you know, maybe if they're just connected, then it's, you know, you just put your thumbprint on a reader and then your numbers come up and what you have. But if you're not connected, obviously some people aren't going to be. And a lot of those are going to be, you know, shadow runners or what have you that aren't going to be connected in those situations. So how do they transfer money? Is it like Star Wars and Andor, and they have this big ship that's just full of the payroll that you can go steal? Is it Star Frontiers or what have you, and, you know, people have credit sticks of different denominations? Maybe. But, I mean, what does the cred stick do? Does that pass through all of the does it pass from one federation to another? Do other races, the Mars folk, use the same creds as the Earth folk or the Belters and Expanse? Or is it does the Aslan and the Vargr and humanity, do they have a codified singular methodology of doing money? It's very, very interesting. I don't think it would be the barter system. I wasn't saying barter system. I just felt like it would be, I would give you my card and you'd run it and there's the money. But like you say, I don't know. It just doesn't seem right. I think someone should really do a nice essay. Maybe I'll see if I can get that into something with RPG Ramblings or something. I don't know. I'd like to hear from some other folks who play sci-fi games. What do you think? What makes the most sense? It'd be cool if there were different ways to do it, but I don't know.
Hey there, Jason. This is Carl calling. It seems like there are a lot of adventures where you, in the Travelerverse, both classic and more contemporary, or remakes of the old classic, where you gotta go find your ship, and it's in some hidden location or up in space, and you gotta clear it out, or in a volcano, or something like that. Common trope. There's also adventures where you get stranded or put in prison, which is kind of funny. And maybe those are kind of like, it seems, standard adventures that GMs like to run, at least initially for the players, which again is kind of funny. I forgot there was a question that you asked about, and I don't remember. But I know, I do agree. I always found it kind of silly. I don't know if the air raft was open-topped or not. I know there's some air rafts that are fully capable of entering orbit, but I don't know if you had an open-topped or closed-topped air raft and if that made a difference or not. I'm not sure. It seems like you would be burning up in the upper layers of the atmosphere, going through dangerous radiation-type layers, or even if it's open-topped, especially being exposed to radiation once you get.
Unfortunately, Carl Rodriguez of the Geomologist Presents was cut off a little bit. I asked him what he was talking about, and he said, just play it like it is. And, the open top thing, maybe it's fine. I mean, we have our, vac suits on, and apparently they're good enough for stopping radiation in open space. So I'd assume maybe they're fine in the upper atmosphere, or does the upper atmosphere of a planet have more radiation than others? That also makes sense to me. I'm not necessarily a good enough scientist. I'm not a scientist at all. And I didn't even stay at a Days Inn last night. But interesting conversation, of course. Also, your call made me consider, again, the idea that our little groups of people on the internet. My buddy Patches once asked me how many people were in the OSR, and I said, 2,000 max. And he's like, there's way more than that. We sell more products. We do all this. We do all that. There's way more. I go, but almost all these people who we interact with on the Anchorverse or in podcasting and just in general are almost all game masters. Almost all those game masters have at least one player group of 5 to 10 people, say. So those 5 to 10 people aren't really part of the movement. They're not involved. They don't read constantly on blogs and all that stuff about game mastering. They don't read. They're just not involved online in this intercourse that we have, or this discourse that goes back and forth about gaming and tabletop RPGs and virtual tabletops. It's just a small, really a small group. Now, I think the 5e crowd is a little different because the majority of them are younger, and many more of them are way more affluent in the workings of the interwebs. So I think there's a larger percentage of players of 5th edition involved in the discourse, but not of the old school games. I just don't think it's the case. I don't buy it. Unless your game has moved online, then most of the time you're just doing stuff at home. And as a player, you're not too involved in all of the surrounding information concerning what the heck's going on in the industry. So I think that might be a reason that what in the traveler verse as a GM for you, you recognize that most other traveler GMs are aware of those products. Personally, I'm not at all. I've played Traveler a few times. I have some Traveler stuff, but I'm not a Traveler GM at this point. It's not something that I'm versed in. So I don't even know any of these things. Carl is running a game called Behind the Claw, I think, which I made a character for, but I have not played in many sessions. And he had the exact same adventure that Huskarl ran for us set up for his group. And that's just, to me, at the same time, within a day or two of running it, it just seemed implausible that that would happen. How many Traveler games are happening right now, and how many of them are using that same adventure? I don't know.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van, don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
All right, as promised, a recap of the Briseis Traveler game. There's three of us as players, we each have two characters. We were trapped for a little bit on an Oberon mining facility on the planet Neon, and finally we managed to escape, get in touch with our contact, take an air raft up to the Briseis, which is like a circular ring lab ship with a stem in the center that has a pinnace attached to it. It seems like everyone already knows the story about this adventure, other than me and all the players that are out there, but we're exploring the ship and trying to deal with these crazy people, and we found some of the crew, including like a Varger and an engineer who might be the one killing the other people. We don't know. It's the one who set the pneumatic trap that almost took off the brain pan of one of our characters. We're getting more and more information on what happened, and so now we kind of know that there are multiple people on the ship in different locations that may or may not be aggressive, as well as space rats that were used for lab testing and now have been freed. And I came up with an idea. I wondered if we could, now that we've gotten to the bridge and we can control the ship's systems, if we just, you know, put on our vax, we have our vac suits, but put on our vac helmets and then take the atmosphere or the oxygen down low enough that it makes everyone either docile or unconscious. And then we just go around and round them up. And that's one way to maybe, you know, clean out the situation. I don't know. Anybody out there know if that premise makes sense? Are we going to kill anybody on accident? It'd be way better than just vacuuming the whole ship to space, which would probably take care of all the rats, but I don't want to kill all the people. I don't know. It's an interesting dilemma. We've kind of settled into a routine a little bit with the game. I think we're at 3 or 4 sessions in. We finally have more sessions of play than we did of character generation, which is always a bonus. And one of the other players mentioned that they wished there was a better characterization of the different characters. He felt like he had a good grasp on his two characters, but he didn't really have a grasp on the other four characters. And I kind of felt similar, that I thought I had a decent grasp of my characters. I was surprised he didn't have a grasp of my characters. But, you know, there's not a ton of roleplay, and if there is, you're kind of saying which character you're playing at the time. And maybe in the future, instead of always playing two characters, maybe we'll only, you know, play one or something. Similar feelings I've gotten from DCC Funnels. They're just not, you know, you just don't see the characters a ton. he mentioned, do you get more characterization from a character because that character is making skill rolls? Is that what it has to be for the spotlight to be on them? I don't know. I've never felt that way. I feel like just a little bit of RP bits, if they're done in first person or third person or however you do them, are enough to start to flesh out and give the spectator, meaning players, other players, GM, or someone if they're watching an actual play, a concept or idea of who or what or whom this character is. Something to think about for sure. Let me know what you think. If you found that with players playing multiple characters is like the amount of characterization that comes from that those characters lessened because of it. In some ways, I think it's obvious that it is, but what are some other ways to maybe shift that and those people who like to get character growth and story, how do you do that? You know, let me know. Up next, the Valley of the Manticore. I think we're on session 26, maybe. There's been a lot of fluctuation with who can make it and who can't. I think it all stems from the character death as reported here previously on the screen. But, you know, that's not the only thing. I mean, we lost a player, a new player came in. Then we lost another player, and the new player came in. So there, I mean, I think that's what happens in campaigns. If you want them to keep going, is you have to transition through those periods. But it's not always easy, and I think we've done okay at it. I think the GM has done decent. We finished up with most of the magical research that we were doing. It took like 2 weeks or something, and I've been playing this secondary character/characters for like 3 or 4 sessions now. Galman, the fighter who is an acolyte of Ouroboros, and Vitel, who is also an acolyte wizard of Ouroboros, and who has now become a henchman of Tufet, who was once a henchman of my character, Alad. I feel like now that we're finished with, we were on this wild goose chase after, feathers of birds of paradise, peacock feathers, I guess, and we had to fight a run from a cockatrice. We didn't really fight it, but that was an adventure all on its own with these alternate characters. Not everyone is playing an alternate character, but I think we've become more focused once again on what the objectives of the party is, which got a little muddy also due to the character death of Alad, I believe, and Celeste. But we were always trying to save the valley from the Manticore, and free, I don't know if that is the correct, liberate Fort Dabblemag, because the current leader has been imprisoned in a tower, and it's just this kind of underlying factional type of thing. I don't know how affluent it, or how, you know, omnipotent, or how much any of these side stories that we've made big stories are in the actual product. I haven't read it, obviously, because I'm playing it. But I think things are coming to a head as far as that goes. I think we have one more preliminary or side quest / adventure we want to do. And then we're going to try and take out Sunduzara, the merchant master mind that has taken over Fort Dabblemag. She obviously has her own ideas about what needs to happen. But I think we have everything. We have 6 days before we can use the elixir that the wizard made for us after we went and got Killer Bee Royal Jelly. So basically the characters have all decided that they are going to revivify, rejuvenate, resurrect Alad. So that's kind of interesting. Now that I have a second level cleric in Tifet, a second level fighter in Galman, and a 1.5 level wizard in Vitel. Which cracks me up, Vitel. I mean, no one in the game knows who Dick Vitel is, which is, if I told that to some of my other buddies, they would be like, how can you not know who Dick Vitel is? But none of them. We're talking a player group of 7 people. No one other than me knows who Dick Vitel is. Dicky V. Come on, people. That's awesome, baby. All right, Screeters. I think we're going to wrap this up. Like I say, I'm very interested in this idea of credits in sci-fi games, or money in general in those types of games. What do you guys think about it? Let me know. Or anything else I mentioned. Have you played through the Valley of the Manticore? Do you have thoughts on it? What about this idea that mostly we're dealing with other GMs, and all those GMs have player bases that aren't really engaged in the discourse of the tabletop RPG industry and the things surrounding it? I don't know if I've ever done one of these conclusatory wrap-up type things, but I have to say, today I was venting this morning about my schedule, but my wife wanted to talk to me about how it was all good, and, you know, this is what you kind of want, it's your job, you're glad to have a bunch of calls regardless if you had plans or whatever. And I'm like, I'm done talking to you about this, you're not helping. Sometimes you just want to be able to vent, but there should be a good way to communicate that without kind of snapping. Snapping doesn't help. Now both people are agitated and one has hurt feelings. Both people probably have hurt feelings. I don't know. Let me know what you think. Anyway, until next time, stay alive. You got a job to do.
Lost in a gutter, baby.